Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. We are back with our coverage of Sci-Fi's Wynonna Earp, covering the penultimate episode 11, titled Better Dig 2, and the current season finale, episode 12, titled Old Souls. Now, a lot of times we do hop around, I think, for emotion's sake, and since the 11 and 12 are so different in content, we are going to stick with 11 first and then 12. But before we dig into 11, let's get at least initial reactions to both episodes without getting too deep. Whoever wants to go first, boys.
I just want to know if there was any tears besides from Kathleen. Kyle said there may have been some when we were talking last episode.
I did not, only because of the way that they put it, like put the information forward. I guess we'll talk about it in more detail, but how it's like Wynonna doesn't get it and then they all have to convince her. Because like I was in that boat when the really emotional doc on Wynonna is happening of like why she like this is such a dumb decision on her part.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably would have cried if it was just like went straight through and it actually ended up being them not being together. But then I think the comedy aspect of it, because I was sitting there questioning like why does she think she needs to do this instead of like really feeling upset,
feeling those feels.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say no. Honestly, though, the finale might be my favorite episode.
Oh, yeah. The finale was great. I mean, it was, I texted Kathleen. I was like, it's the perfect finale. And I don't want to be like mean to the fandom or anything, but I would be fine if that's the series finale because I thought it was great. You know, obviously everybody wants more Wynonna, but I thought they did it well. I mean, me and Kathleen were talking about the difference between the Magicians, or no, me and Luke were talking about the difference between the Magicians finale and Wynonna's finale. And the Magicians was pretty good as a series finale too, but just with the option of there being a whole nother world, you know, new fillery existing, you know, there's more stories to tell. And yes, there's definitely more stories to tell for Wynonna if they wanted to. But I was really happy with this being a series finale.
Yeah. It felt way more like they were prepared for this to be the series finale than Magicians was. And I don't know what the timing difference was, like how much more time Magicians had to prepare versus Wynonna. But at the same time, you know, like the only thing I had written down that they had left really open-ended that I cared a lot about was Eve. And then I guess Cleo, but Cleo's ending is good enough. Like the clan, she's leaving the Ghost River Triangle. She passed on the curse of the clan. She's done with that. And then like the shot at the end felt way more series finale where it said like Home of the Earps and and Haunt and Holiday sometimes. Like that was perfect. Yeah. That felt like a finale.
It's funny because I thought the finale was so good fan service wise and it made me so happy that I didn't think twice about Eve. I really didn't. And I usually do have those questions. I'm usually what the hell's going on? Where's Eve? I didn't even think twice. I was just ready for what I got and I was loving it.
Mm-hmm.
So two things. One is that I'm currently chewing a cough drop. So if that becomes a sound, I apologize. The reason I guess this episode is a bit delayed coming out because your boy got COVID and the holidays. So shout out to me.
And two, we're pod virtual.
It literally just hit me why it's hashtag bring Wynonna home because she leaves at the end of, I didn't realize that was a spoiler. I always thought it was bring her home to a
TV
network.
To the sci-fi. Yeah. That's what I was supposed to.
Oh, okay.
Just hit me right now.
Yeah. I didn't realize that I was just like spamming all these spoilers out there, not knowing what I was doing. Well, not in a bad way, but like, I was like, yeah, bring Wynonna home. Let's go.
Bring her home to sci-fi. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an incognito spoiler for sure.
Yeah.
Smart. I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed both 11 and 12. They are very different, but 11 was a lot of good stuff, and 12 was obviously what we just said. So let's just get into it.
So the first thing we're going to talk about in episode 11 is how I was correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. I got the note. Believe me, I got the note. Okay. So we're going to start with Doc, Jeremy, and Mercedes. Doc is going absolutely nuts with Mercedes just bleeding out on the floor. Huge shout out to Kyle for guessing it, which was an amazing guess. That sucked that I couldn't like give you props last week because that was an amazing guess. But he doesn't turn before there's like some hilarious vamping out, which we always loved of him with the teeth out and freaking out. And then also very sweet moments with Jeremy too.
Yeah.
Like really sweet best friendship
hugging
moments
it out
there. But I was telling Jimmy, because he watched it earlier today and we were talking about it, and I was like, just start by licking the blood off the floor, at least. Give him a little taste. Like, does it have to be straight out of the body? There's a puddle of floor. Just move her over and let him slurp it up.
If I'm honest, I was just staring at her tits the whole time.
Dude, 100% was going to reserve the comment because of our questionable review we got recently.
But you know what? Mercedes would love that comment.
Yeah, she really would. Mercedes would love that comment.
Exactly. They made a joke about her being a vamp the first time we saw her in, was it called the Glory Hole?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a fake vamp in that, so it's perfect.
Awesome. I think it was her idea, too. She's like, yo, I could totally be a good vampire.
She's like, I was born to be a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vampire mission granted. Now get over here and suck me off.
I also wanted to give a shout to Luke. I think it was. It was like, I think the werewolf Freddy is going to be important at some point. And it's like, it's not like he's important, but he does have some pretty big lines in this, and he ends up killing the fucking BBD guy. So that was funny. Cause when you said that, I was like, no, he's not. But he ends up being like a decent character in episode 11.
I just think it was unnecessary to give him that opening when he thought he was going to get blamed for the genie issue. That part was weird, but I mean, it was funny. Isn't he the florist?
I was just going to say, do you think he provided the flowers for the wedding?
Yes.
Yes.
Aww.
Freddy.
He
prefers Fred, though.
I can do whatever I want.
But so, yeah, I literally have this. I have a huge note that just says Mercedes is the GOAT.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Are you sure it doesn't say Kyle?
And Kyle is the GOAT, too, right next to it.
How did they not get her actor to be in the finale?
I think it is all due to COVID and stuff.
Interesting.
Well, it's funny you say that because, like, budget wise, there's two things I wanted to talk about from the behind the scenes of episode 11. One, it's that Tim and Varun are best friends, absolute best friends in real life. So when they got to shoot this, it was like the first time it's just them two, really. And they're just, Tim goes, I texted him in the morning and said, TVD, Tim and Varun day. We were so pumped. Like, the behind the scenes is so fucking cute. And then Tim also says something like, me and Dom kept looking at each other and being like, did they not have a budget for villains? Why are we the two villains of this episode?
Yeah. That's also very true. Mm-hmm.
Doc is the best villain of the entire series. He was a villain for exactly like 5 minutes and it was absolutely incredible. His acting was so menacing. He was a completely different person. It was so good.
That was disrespectful to Bobo. Yeah.
But do you disagree?
Yes.
Doc, scary Doc is this episode. Doc was scarier than Bobo ever was.
I guess
you don't have to be scary to be a good villain.
That's true. I was just kind of confused. I guess that's why. I just I'm not sure.
I didn't realize that. I guess transferring the Clanton curse made you change as a person because it didn't seem like Cleo changed.
It basically made him a Clanton. Like, it made him hate. I mean, he should have just shot himself in the head though, because he's supposed to hate himself. Like, he's supposed to be a Clanton who hates Doc.
Yeah,
I was anticipating them revealing some Clanton heritage.
No, all it was that Cleo did a spell to then transfer the heir to their greatest enemy. Cleo thought it was going to be fucking Winona. She didn't even realize it was going to be Doc. And ends up going to Doc. So then Doc now inherits the clan. I thought Cleo did an amazing idea being like, ma'am didn't fucking tell me that the Reapers are in your head following you, begging for revenge. That's a great explanation of why ma'am fucking blows. You know what I mean? Like, she's the worst ever, but you don't understand. Holt after time, even though he was good, if with all that in your head, he would have turned bad too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Also, we get Holt in this.
Yeah. We got Holt.
You know what I was confused? Episode 11 was when Doc was hearing voices. I did not understand what was happening at first. Were you guys confused when he's hearing things? But I was totally lost the first time. What is
first watch? I was definitely lost.
Yeah.
So then he put false bullets into his gun knowing he was going to go crazy. Not false.
Yeah, because he has that vision right when they're walking out the door of the facility, and he says, I have to go back in and get my guns. Right then he has the vision that some shit's going to go down. Mm-hmm. So that's how he knows to put the wrong bullets in.
Another best Mercedes line, I think, is when she's like, well, that sucked me off. That one's incredible. She's like, what is it, sire? Oh, there goes all my feminist street cred.
She's just freaking Monty, dude.
I know.
She is Monty. Incredible.
All right. Should we go back to the very beginning? So Dark Waverly gets an outfit change. She went from being in a dress at the very end of last episode to this like black getup in this one. The wings are actually Julian's wings repurposed, just like a
nice
behind the scenes thing to save money, I suppose. But so yeah, what do you guys think of this Wynonna Waverly interaction, Dark Waverly?
It definitely answered her debate at the end of last episode. I don't know why they didn't just show it at the end of last episode, but the fog's all gone. We were wondering if there was going to be a pocket or not. And she just says, like, it's no longer necessary. I am the failsafe. And I think she says that a couple times this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't love the blinding of Wynonna for 5 seconds, but everything else, like the way they talked, and she was saying, like, it's her turn now. Like, it's two bodies in one Waverly, right? Like, it's like the, it seems like, cause she talks about Waverly in the third person.
Right.
So yeah, it's like,
but you can tell she sometimes is like her, you know?
Yeah. And I loved that the angel Waverly wasn't like pure evil.
Yeah. You know,
we were kind of led to believe that at the end of last episode. Cause didn't she say like, I'm going to fucking destroy everything or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a little bit of a mislead. It's kind of like when Julian turns, when he's like, I am the angel Julian or whatever. Like, he goes from being like Goofy Charlie and then he's just like deadpan Julian. So,
yeah. It didn't seem like
she had plans to destroy anything, even if she got her way. Right?
She was after one thing.
She was just taking the book to Eden. Yeah. Now, who's more of a badass in leather, Waverly or Wynonna?
Wynonna.
Yeah. She had red leather this episode.
Waverly was so chill. Dark Waverly is super chill. She's just
smoking a cig.
I am curious about the outfit change. Is that just like a little bit of a faux pas?
I don't know. I think that the original dress was supposed to be like her dress literally turned dark because she was wearing a dress with Jolene. And then I don't know if they just went full outfit change. Like, it shouldn't have been an outfit change, but I really, that was never an answer. I don't think really anyone really brings that up.
She could do whatever she wants.
Sorry for bringing it up.
I mean, I guess there's no answers now when we ask questions because we have all the information.
That's it. We have Kathleen might have some extra info.
What was the point of the blinding?
That's what I was going to say. I thought that was ridiculous.
I paused when I was taking notes, like in the next scene when she's with Billy, she sees the blood. I was like, what the fuck did I just miss? I went back to the last scene. I was like, where does she not blind anymore? But the contacts look sweet.
Yeah, they look sweet. That reminds me of The Witcher with their eyes different with the contacts. But yeah, I literally had to rewind because she 1 second is blind as hell. And then the next second she's just like, what's good? I can see everything. But she does say something. It, but I missed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, she's like, my seers are back in motion or some shit. Something like that.
She's like, oh, but there's nothing to see. But then
the
next line.
But that sounds like Wynonna.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't even close. I probably didn't get a single word right there. But
I think the line was, I could see. I'm just kidding.
Fuck off.
But yeah, and then she's like, oh, but there's nothing to see. And then like they just move forward. I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah, she should have just flew away without doing that. I guess to make the Reaper thing have tension with Billy, who was not a Reaper at the time. Like
he was a Reaper in the beginning when she was blind and then he turns back. Yeah.
So it's moving in parallel with Cleo and Rachel, and Cleo's getting Rachel to like unreap Billy with some sort of spell. And we get a couple good pieces of information, like Clantons can't unreap Clantons. A Reaper will go after its biggest enemy once the target is dead, which is interesting. I would have always assumed they just retreat.
I guess he should have went after Doc then and not Wynonna, if we're going by that.
Probably why he didn't kill Wynonna right away.
I guess. I just like,
fuck you.
Yeah, I just like the whole thing with Cleo where she's going through this whole motion of trying to convince. I asked the question, you know, is it going to matter that Wynonna brings Billy in? And it actually comes up, but then she just forgives Wynonna. It doesn't really come up ever again. It's whatever. But I was laughing because she's getting her through this whole thing to bring Billy back. And I thought it was like fake for a second, just so Cleo could get away. Cause she's going for the gun. She's like, I'm looking for the sacrificial stick things. Like, you know, like I just, you know, I was laughing cause I thought it was fake. And then it actually brings them back.
Can I also just say that whenever I spell the word fog, I spell it with two G's.
Yeah,
shout out to our boy, Dean Fog.
I'm checking. I'm checking.
I never wrote that.
Nah, not me.
Fog.
Sorry.
Yeah. Mm,
couldn't be you. So then before Doc disappears and comes to the Clan Ranch, we have this one little scene with Doc and Waverly, and the quote is out of control. I love it. She's all serious. She's like, I am a scion of the great garden, Julian, protector of the filth realm, and his delivery of okie dokie is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And like we said, she's looking for the book. And then he just disappears because I guess he was summoned by the Cleo's ritual with Wynonna. I loved the scenes with Cleo and Wynonna. I thought that Cleo did great. I know Luke said you said in an earlier episode that the wrap up of the Clantons was satisfying for you. I thought this was even better, a better wrap up and their beat.
Yeah, no, it didn't take anything away. It still just kind of extended the leave of last episode, and her being stuck with the Reapers in her head would have been a problem. So like, I guess her getting rid of that made it even better. It's just, we didn't have that information yet. So I was totally fine with that ending. But quick question, do we care at, like, it's just a cool throwaway line, the fifth realm thing?
Yeah.
Okay, and then that I guess that's kind of like an open-ended thing, but not really. It's just a cool little lore piece, I guess. But more than anything, this episode, and it's really the scenes later in episode 11, that kind of confirm that I guess the books really are like Cassandra from the fucking Magicians wrote them, right? It's like your life story.
It seems like it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
And Waverly's is, I think just the books are meant to be in the garden in general, right? The fact that they took a book from the garden, kind of like if you were to burn it in the library, it was a faux pas. We keep saying that or whatever, you know? Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I haven't been able to talk through the books with anybody.
Yeah. I'm not really 100% on her goal was just to bring the book back to the Eden, but then also was it to sit on the throne?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Close the gate forever.
And then that's why Nicole saying that I'll be the shield allows her not to sit on the throne.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, but who plays the actual MVP role and puts Hot on that trajectory towards the stairs?
Your boy.
No, no, Jeremy with the crotch.
Yeah, the loins.
He played multiple roles in both episodes, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, it did.
Should have just been more relevant the whole time. That's all. I'm not going to act like I love to all the Jeremy random power usages now.
I know.
I wish
his crotch was on fire.
I have the opposite. I thought it was funny that they just like threw him in at the end again because they like remembered.
Yeah.
Okay. So Doc and Wynonna. The standoff, I think this was some of the best acting out of Tim. A lot of his best acting comes in the really emotional moments. I thought this was sick that he was just so, so cold. And Tim in the behind the scenes, he's like, I hate it when Doc is mean.
I know you told me that before. And I thought I was thinking of that the whole time during this episode. Yeah.
That's so cute.
Pick up the pistol or the child fucking dies. Like,
yeah.
Come on. It's great. What did you guys think? Like, did you think someone was going to die in that scene? Did you think Doc was going to die when he was like down for the count and asking Wynonna to shoot him?
No.
I thought there was a slight chance. Like, I didn't know if it was going to be the whole happy ending or like if they were going to make it like a tragic hero situation with Wynonna. So the fact that I felt there was real tension there, I thought that was a good job.
Nice.
I totally thought that they could have, you know, done it.
I honestly, once again, I don't understand what happened to him. How did he die? Like, what was his cause of death? Because I was trying to look for a bullet wound.
It backfired on him, and it was not that he was... Well, I guess he was dying, but it was just an injury. Like, it blew up in his face. I don't really know. Yeah, there wasn't really an open injury.
Yeah, no, he wasn't dying from that. He was dying and being like, kill me so the Reapers are no longer... Like, that'll end it. He's like, end what I started 150 years ago by killing me. Because at that point, he was still the Clanton. He didn't know that Billy and the King of the Incantations were working out a spell in parallel.
I thought Waverly brought him back to life.
No, Kathleen, because after Billy changes it, he says, all right, everyone stopped, like the Reapers are stopped for now, but kill me. Remember? Because Billy fixes it, then he can't hear them anymore.
Well, he says the Reapers are gone for now. I don't think he knows that they were gone for good.
Yeah. All right. That's fine, I guess.
I might be misreading that too. I never thought he was gonna die like in that moment. I think that really like blew him back for a second.
Then what was Winona like crying about? Because she didn't want him to ask to be killed.
Yeah.
Oh, I just took it like he's dying and he was saying, finish me off.
Yeah. I liked finish the me shot. Off. I liked. Whoa! I'll finish it.
She'll have a threesome if you could talk. You could talk her into it if she.
say less.
I think I took it like Kathleen did.
The sign was cool.
You did, Luke.
Yeah, like I thought the Billy and Nedley thing was just a Band-Aid, and it allowed them to have a real conversation. Doc's already freaking depressed about like being a vampire still, and he has that whole speech later about like wanting to die, you know, like he's done too much to try and live, like it's his time. So I thought that that's what that was. I didn't think he would have just died if she walked away, because he was begging, use Peacekeeper, I'm a monster, like it'll work on me, boom. But I
could have sworn he was dead, especially because his reaction from when Waverly puts her hands on it and he's like,
because she took away the vampire, like he says, like something feels different, because like even in that moment neither of them realize he's not a vampire until the end of reflection.
I just completely took it as he was dead, and that was his first like gasp of air as being alive again.
It's 2v2. All of our Twitter followers, for all of our ERPers, hit us up, let us know what you guys thought.
Hashtag Doc was dead.
That actually reminded me of a point, because, you know, right before that, when we did see Waverly and Doc square off at the BBD facility, right, like that happened right before he gets transported here, or he just drives here, whatever.
He gets transported.
Okay, so when Waverly, Dark Angel Waverly, says to him like, you have something of mine, I swore it was gonna be the blood that he took from Charlie that made, and like it would have just been like, bringing that out of him.
That would have been
fucking sweet. And then like I forgot about the book, and I didn't remember that Doc had it on him, so it became about that. But that would have been a cool plot twist that I was expecting. I was like, holy fuck, no way, that's a sweet twist.
And to keep, you know, stoking the fires of this argumentative flame, I thought also that it was like Waverly was reviving him in exchange for the book.
That's how I took it too. I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with it, fine with either way.
Yeah, I don't really care that much.
As long as
he's alive.
I don't want to blow by the fact that our boy Nedley had his book in his hat back so he could do his incantations, because he's the incantation master.
So funny. You any good at incantation?
Yeah, it's very Midsommar. Never saw it. Was a barnacle monster.
Yeah, Nedley was killing it in these two episodes.
Absolutely.
Nedley and Jeremy were amazing.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm a little biased though. Those are my guys, so.
They're great guys to have. I love that about you. The guys in the show are top notch.
Heard that.
So she cures him or revives him or whatever the ERPers weigh in and tell us happened.
All right, pause, Kathleen.
Yes.
Luke and Kyle, did you have any idea that when he said, I feel different, that he was going to be non-vamped until he actually reveals it?
That's 100% the only thing I was thinking about. What were the other options? Like, meaning like...
I'm alive now.
That's because me and Luke thought one thing and you two thought something different. Exactly. So that's why our brain went...
I don't know what I was thinking, because I was the one who asked us. Remember last episode, I was like, do you guys think he's going to be non-vamped? And you guys are both like, no.
Yeah, I mean, and for some reason,
so I don't know. I can't really speak to if I thought about it like that or not when it actually happened. But when he said, I feel different, I think it was a little bit in my mind, but not like you said, Luke, where it's like 100%.
Yeah.
You don't need to show off. You can be wrong, Jim.
I can't believe that I was the one that said Mercedes was going to get vamped. That was like crazy. That was my best. That was my best theory.
Paul is rubbing off on you, man.
We all laughed in your face.
All right, so now we make our way to the stairs after Jeremy tipped off Nicole. There's really not much Nicole in this episode. We get the beginning where she kind of decides, okay, Winona, you better have Waverly. I gotta go. Like, because she hears on the radio that BBD is just eliminating townspeople like monsters. It's just like Monument and the other places they just absolutely bombed before. So we get that piece. We get her rescuing them, and then the Jeremy. So now she finds Dark Waverly walking up the stairs, and they have this whole kind of speech about the book and that she can protect. And Waverly's like, I have to close the gate once and for all, sister. Sorry.
Wait,
I gotta
go. Just skipped all of the Waverly Winona talk.
When they have the talk between.
Oh, okay.
That's like a huge part. Yeah. I mean, because the end of the doc scene where he does get turned back into a pure human by Waverly, Winona and Angel Waverly have this conversation because Winona's just begging her not to take Waverly away and like, don't leave. Like, that's my baby sister, blah, blah, blah. And she's so quick to give up the book, like to do whatever, you know, in exchange for, what does she ask? That's for Doc. That's the res doc. So book for Doc. And then she starts saying like, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. She doesn't really care at this point, the angel. And that's when she actually walks over to the Reaper cages and like,
oh, yeah, amazing.
She frees all of the Clantons that have been historically just trapped for all those decades. So that was actually cool and surprising. I didn't think she was just going to turn around and just like fix that. It seems like she is way more powerful than even Julian was.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, I guess.
Also,
she's half.
She could have easily just changed her.
She's our girl.
Yeah, like this.
Yeah, she could have just changed. She's turning people into birds. Why not change her outfit? Yeah.
I like the fact that obviously Dark Waverly now knows things. I mean, I guess she knows everything about Doc even when she was just normal Waverly, but I like when she's like, he defied the lifetimes he was given many, many times. I don't know why I really like that line, just because no one really talks about how Doc is literally like 106 years old and he had a mortal spell that got broken and then he turned into a vamp to become immortal. Like, he's just wild. In the same vein, I did want to shout out, this is going rogue, but Mercedes, and just how many different lives this bitch has taken on within the show. She comes on as Winona's friend. She gets murdered. She becomes the villain of that one. She gets hot, blonde. She gets decaying Widow Mercedes. Then she's the hot white wig Widow Mercedes. Then she dies. Then she comes back like all fucked up and like her face is fucked up. And then she's fixed. Then she's Bolshar's wife. And then in season 3 or 4, she's got a fake like she's a vampire to survive. And now she's a real vampire. They just use her as a utility player for whatever they need. And she's incredible. I love it.
She's easily one of the highlights of the show. A supporting character that just elevates every time she's on the screen. Whatever she's doing is just the funniest thing.
Not that this really matters, but we're talking about like Doc finally becoming a normal human, not immortal anymore. What was the age of Winona again in the beginning of the show?
27.
Okay, 27. So how old do we think Doc is, like actual, like now that he's a human age, like in your lifetime? Is he like 40 something? Like,
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Now that he's going to be a normal human.
Late 30s.
Yeah. Cause he only started aging when he gave up the ring. And then in between giving up the ring and becoming a vampire.
Yeah.
So that little bit, which is probably what, like a season, 2 seasons ish.
So my question is, again, I really don't care and it doesn't matter, but there is like a difference in their age. Like say she's 30 and he's probably like 40 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing crazy.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I was just wondering because I couldn't tell how old they wanted him to be.
Jimmy loves an age gap.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, bro. Us mature guys for the win. My boy Doc staying hot.
I can't grow a mustache like Doc.
It's honestly, I'm going to miss watching a TV show with a man of that good of a mustache on it. I just look at it every time he's on the screen. My eyes just like glue to it.
I don't know what they did for the finale, but his hair looked dark as shit, like pure black.
Yeah.
And it does.
It was popping.
Is that when he's filming Schitt's Creek?
No.
Because then you say he's got done. Really. Oh, okay.
I've never seen it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess, Jimmy, to answer your question, he might be like 38 in the finale and then like 41 for the rest of the series.
Okay. All right.
Where the fuck did you pull that from?
Well, because he looks great in the finale. He looks a little younger.
Like the way you said it, it's like you read something that you just confirmed your thoughts.
Yeah, you gotta be confident. You gotta be confident when you lie.
Yeah. It's like Barney when he's like, this certain percent when he does the percentages, when he's saying the statistics of things, and they're like, nah, that's not accurate.
That's not true.
Yeah.
All right, Kathleen, take us back to the stairs.
All right. So after Waverly frees the Reapers, which really like relieves a lot of people, Cleo didn't have to do any of this bullshit. All we needed was Dark Waverly just release these Reapers and then we would have been cool. That was a lot of birds.
Yeah.
A lot of birds. So, yeah. Head. What'd you say?
It would have been a lot of voices in your head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I mean, what, the 1850s till now? So however many generations of Clantons that is?
Anytime a Clanton dies? Yeah, geez.
Yeah, with the blood, yeah.
So we make our way to the stairs, and we have Dark Waverly saying they need to close the gate once and for all. She's determined to get up there with the book. She's the guardian and the failsafe, and then Nicole talks her down. I mean, she's pretty chill. She really is. Like, she'll hear you out, which is
interesting. She's not evil.
No.
You're saying Dark Waverly will hear you out. She's like, let me sit down. Let's have a little drink. Yeah. Let's figure this out.
And
if you can't convince me, I'll kill you.
Yeah, there's two, both Doc and Waverly have, or Dark Waverly, when they're being bad, have, like, pieces of themselves coming through. Like, Doc wouldn't shoot Winona in the back, even though he does end up pulling the trigger at some point. He hesitates. And then same here when Nicole's saying, like, look in the book. Like, am I in there? Am I in there? And she breaks because she loves her girl. It's the best.
They read the book.
And all Nicole ever really wanted to be was special. You know what I mean? Like, you feel like Nicole feels left out because she's not the angel and she's not the heir. And she's always like, it's my fucking turn. And now she got to step up and be the angel shield. I loved that.
I like that point. Yeah, I didn't look at it like that. I like how she just kind of, like, the negatives of the situation is that she has to stay in the Ghost River Triangle, and she's like, okay.
I'm with my girl.
When do we ever leave?
Yeah, all right, say less. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like you said, Kathleen, Nicole doesn't have a lot of spotlight in this episode. She gets something in the beginning and something in the end, and they're both pretty damn big for her character, though. Like, I really liked when she saves them and she has the mini speech saying, you know, this is my town, I'm the sheriff, and this is our people, and you're not going to mess with it. You know, the whole Freddie line. That was a really good line that she's talking to, or a really good speech when she's talking to the asshole, I forget his name, the military BBD guy, hits him with the gun and saves the day. And then this obviously is huge. And who was it? We had our conversation last episode, me, Luke, and Kyle, saying, who do we think is going to fix or turn Dark Waverly back to Waverly? Who's going to convince her? And I'm pretty sure I said Winona, but I know one of you two definitely said Nicole. Yeah.
Sounds like forget. I would have to check.
Sounds like something Kyle would say if it's right.
No, you know, there is something interesting when Waverly blinds Nicole.
Winona.
When Waverly blinds Winona, she says, because it's her turn. Mm-hmm. And that line confused me. I was like, is she talking about Nicole? That's the same thing that Nicole says in the episode prior.
Yeah, like, she's saying it's Waverly's turn to make a sacrifice.
Waverly's
it's always
turn.
Winona
okay.
who freaking sacrifices something.
Got
and, it's similar to when Winona drugs everyone to go to the Eden by herself.
Yeah.
And Waverly's like, I'm coming with you. And I didn't take the shot. And Winona says, I didn't drug you anyway, but she's like, it's my turn to be part of this, you know?
Love that
was an interesting thought, Kathleen, because that would have been really cool if it did turn out that, like, the Dark Angel part of Waverly was trying to make it about Nicole in some way. But if that were to be true, it would have meant that the dark part of Waverly knew that this was going to play out that way, so it had to be about
Waverly herself. To read the book.
Yeah,
she was shocked to read the book, and it said Nicole was part of it, so...
Yeah.
The symbol on the back of her neck... is the so Winona's the guardian, she's the angel, and Nicole's the shield. That is the symbol. It's all drawing, excuse me, of the three things. It's kind of like
Winona's
the Deathly
the
Hallows.
Guardian, or was it the champion?
Champion.
Sorry.
Okay.
Champion. It's kind of like the Deathly Hallows, right? The triangle with the line and everything. It's similar to that, where the drawing comes together as those three things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow by either Winona having like the really good moment where she just pretty much is sacrificing herself, telling Rachel, the only thing you need to worry about is I got you. You know, yeah. Like she had her back to Doc. She doesn't know what's going to happen. She hopes Doc isn't going to shoot. But when shit's hitting the fan, she takes her shot and she says, no matter what, I'm not shooting at Doc. I'm going to shoot at Holt so that it saves Rachel. And then yeah. if I die, I die. You know, I thought that was really good on Winona's part, obviously being the hero.
Mm-hmm.
They're each other's family.
The shot yeah. was amazing.
That was a good shot.
That was like season one, episode one. When yeah, Winona pulled out that bullshit yeah. before, you know.
Waverly's being hung.
Yeah, she's had some damn good finale shots, like the split the bullet shot and off the mirror wall shot, or whatever you want to call the whatever that thing is. The thing that she just shot, whatever it is.
Oh,
you're talking about this episode?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good one.
And then it is... I know Luke texted me and he's like, I really loved everything that happened in this episode, but it all happened so fast. Cause of course we talked about how 7, 8, 9 were fluff. You know, they were very genre based, but not series finale episodes. I agree. I wish this was like a couple episodes worth of like terror, but I still loved it. I mean, literally after she's like, cool, you're my angel's shield, they just go to the bar and they're good. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? It's like all tension is lifted.
Yeah.
What did I know? I just said what Luke is. You can
just to add. Yeah. I think they should have just fleshed out like point A to point B, beginning of this episode to the end was what pretty much should have happened. It just should have happened over 3 or 4 episodes. And that's not like it's just a pacing issue. Like, why did we waste so much time on fucking Jack and then the genie? Like, they didn't deserve the airtime when Dark Waverly got less time than both of them.
Yeah.
That's the part that I'm just like, ugh, why did we do that? Because if they knew it was coming, like, just flesh out the Dark Waverly thing for 4 episodes and it would have been fucking phenomenal. But like I said, everything that happened was what I kind of wanted to happen. It's just it just felt like it was over before it started because Dark Waverly didn't get that much time to shine.
Yeah, she should have got more time. I mean, if it was 3 to 4 episodes of Dark Waverly, Winona would have been blind for at least 20 minutes or something like that. And then we might not have been worrying about it.
Exactly.
But no, yeah, Dark Waverly was a really good character to flesh out for a couple episodes. And I agree. Like, I did like the episodes as one-offs, the genie one and Jack, just like a million times we said it if it was a season 1 episode. But I would have definitely rather have had this episode be drawn out into more episodes. Mm-hmm.
Well, at least 10 was amazing, too. 10 and 11 as back-to-back episodes were fucking amazing. And then, of course, 12 just burns the house down. But 11 and 12 as, like, climactic, like, really good TV content-heavy stuff, that, like, endgame stuff, 10 and 11 were amazing. I think maybe at least one more episode of that would have been better for me. Mm-hmm. But you know me, I'm cool. I'd rather have sweet, sweet Angel, like, Waverly for 7, 8, 9, then have her be like cold. Dark Waverly just is kind of like a bad bitch, but she's not doing much. She's just walking around slowly and like talking in like in that low tone voice.
It's funny because I have a feeling that we're totally bitch town TV when it comes to this, because if we would have had 3 to 4 episodes of Dark Waverly, we probably would have been like, that was sweet, but like we miss Waverly. Why didn't you just give us normal Waverly back? Like
Elliot style.
Point.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other thing we miss at the end of this episode, though, we already mentioned it briefly about letting Freddy fuck up General Graham.
Yeah.
Like Jeremy does, which was a cool, like, badass moment when he picks up the phone. He's like, General Graham didn't survive. And then just, like, lets Freddy murder him, which was honestly fucking badass. That was sweet. And then right directly from that is when we get this whole Shorty's squad revamp.
So
and
cute.
You know what I'm thinking about this whole fucking time? I was like, Rachel still hasn't fucking sang yet. You freaking dropped a series finale thing on us like that early into the thing. That was ridiculous.
Look at that face. Look at that guilty ass face.
I'm not guilty. I thought that was great. I loved every episode when you're being like, Rachel's safe. She hasn't sung yet. That was good.
Not to jump ahead, but who was playing the piano when she sang?
It was like speakers.
I'm kidding.
You little bitch.
When Luke said
is Nedley.
Yeah, Nedley was just tickling the keys, man. But
those ivories.
Yeah, but Luke, when you said all I was thinking about, I thought you were going to say all you were thinking about was Jeremy wearing Doc's hat at the bar.
I actually don't know if that was Doc's hat, was it?
Yeah,
I thought that was like hat. I thought that was like a hat that he owns.
No,
like,
he's wearing Doc's hat. Doc's not wearing
it's not a cowboy hat.
I thought Doc wears that kind of hat sometimes.
Nor oh,
this is intense.
Nor James.
What do you guys have to say?
Say, well, was he wearing the hat? That was a great line in season in episode 12.
Yeah, that's great. I have that written
down. Was he wearing the hat?
I love that. I like the idea of him wearing Doc's hat. So.
I think it's so
sorry, Lean.
Yeah. The subtitle says Jeremy's wearing Doc's hat.
You know what? Now that you say that, I think I read that as well.
Yeah.
You know what, Jimmy? I'll give it to you.
And last episode, Kyle was like, I don't know what's going to happen in the finale, but I feel like Jeremy's going to be wearing Doc's hat. And there it is.
Sounds you
know,
like him.
I was on fucking fire in that 9 and 10.
Yeah, you were killing it, dude.
Yeah, damn.
All right,
yeah,
okay,
so we get the reveal that Doc's no longer a vampire. You can see his reflection.
I really thought you were going to say, so we get the reveal that Jeremy's wearing Doc's hat.
That would have been perfect.
Damn it. I'm not funny, dude.
I like how this scene was set up, though, and that Nicole is like, oh, you know, there's an elephant in the room, and then everyone thinks it's a different thing, and then it ends up just being like, no, dumbasses, like, we still have a wedding.
Mm-hmm. And it's just awesome that she keeps interrupting Wynonna while she's trying to have a moment with Doc.
Yeah, Wynonna interrupting Nicole and Waverly is obviously a thing that happens constantly throughout, so that was a little nod to her interrupting Doc and Wynonna, but even then, it's like, they're being all lovey-dovey, and in the next episode, they're not I mean, they're good. They're definitely good, but there's so much tension in the next episode. Obviously, like Wynonna, I guess if we're talking about Wynonna and Doc, if Doc was going to stay, Wynonna would have been like, cool, we're together. But since he was leaving, she was like, oh, I can't leave. So I guess we're not going to be together. She's such bad commitment issues. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we find pretty early on that Doc's going to leave, and that's the tension. So when they first, you know, in the beginning of the episode, I would assume that they're that lovey-dovey. But as soon as she finds out he's leaving, you know, she's
Doc
a coward, dude.
So fucking hot in this episode. Like, his fits, his outfits, his shirts that he's wearing are
he's got some
amazing.
Guns showing.
Yes. He's so hot.
I'm just pissed they didn't give Jeremy any short-sleeve shirts for
what?
To show his
he
guns.
Was wearing a short-sleeve shirt? Today,
he
I
was.
Said today, but
today
in the finale,
in the one where
maybe his guns weren't as good as I thought because I didn't notice.
You know what I've seen on Twitter that I feel like you guys will like is when Waverly and Nicole are hooking up and then Jeremy walks in on them, and then like it's just like Waverly walks straight over to Jeremy and grabs his face, and everyone was like, ew, like, ew, why did you do that?
Especially for Jeremy.
I know. I love that. Anyway.
This episode starts off hot, though, with like the comedy and stuff. The matrimonial icing, the whole thing with the vegan buttercream was killing me.
Bro, it starts off with a wedding murder and suicide. What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm talking about with our cast. I'm talking about with our cast.
Jimmy's cracking his ass up.
I'm not going to lie.
Gone wrong.
I'm cracking up when that chick took the axe of the guy.
I was shocked at the reading the description for episode 12 about there being another bed. Like, I just did not expect that at all when it said, like, they have to deal with this. What is she called? The something witch. What is it? The silk witch?
Silk witch.
Yeah. Like, I do love that they added another witch type.
Yeah.
What do we have? We have the stone witch, the silk witch,
Iron?
Iron. That's
Iron witch.
Is it just those three or is there another one?
Maeve wasn't a witch, right? When she hops to Jeremy and Nicole.
For some reason,
I think there's one other one.
Do they call her Fire Witch during that, though?
I don't know if it's a title.
Yeah, I mean, they might just be,
Either way, still cool. I like that they randomly have these.
So, this episode is, I think, incredible start to finish. So the trope is kind of a haunted dress turned on its head that Wynonna puts it on, and the behind the scenes of her like ripping through the homestead and everything's catching on fire and bursting and falling over is great. And then when she goes straight to Doc and he's trying to get it out of or get it off of her, and he's like talking about, he's like, I could just cut down the seam and sew right back up and no one would be any of the wiser. And she's like, you could do that? What the fuck? Like, he's so hot in this episode. What is going on?
Dude, he's an onion. He's got so many layers.
He does, man. Just like Crix's.
Oh my god, you want to talk about creeps? But I, one thing I like Hot gets a pussy. Lot, but you know who else gets pussy? Hot. And when she is like, oh, like, we don't need a vegan cake. Like, it's fine. Some things are going to go wrong. And I was like, how is that one thing to just accept is going to go wrong? That you're not adhering to your fucking bride's dietary restrictions when it comes to the cake.
And why not? It's like, Nicole's going to serve you buttercream. Like,
yeah. I assume that she saw her fiance baking the vegan cupcakes the night before is what I assume.
Whatever.
I wanted that fucking vegan cake, dude.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
So, okay, so here is the first reveal of the wedding party. No one guessed this. No one guessed really Doc being involved at all, really. I think maybe Kyle mentioned
somebody
Doc.
Said his name, and if it's, I, it yeah, had to I be Kyle because he was on a roll.
On fire.
Yeah. Gang, gang.
But this was really sweet. What did you guys think of Waverly asking Doc?
I have really big notes. Aww.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were gonna follow it up.
Mine was just all caps. Doc as Wave's best man? ?
Didn't I get it right about Nicole asking Winona?
Yeah, you did.
I did get that being the best man.
But Doc was yeah. Oh yeah. Jimmy got Jeremy officiating right.
Yes. And the flower girl.
Was she a flower? Was she a flower?
I think so. Oh.
I
thought you guys were gonna guess that she was singing in at the wedding. I really thought someone was gonna.
Wow,
sing
that would have been hilarious.
That's bad that we didn't. My mistake really is. Was overestimating the attendance of the wedding.
Yeah, yes. That was all of our mistakes. We were talking about Mama Herb. She gets a
Luke
little
said
call
Bobo
back,
was gonna officiate.
So. Well, that was did, money. That was money.
I was trying for the life of me to think where I had Bobo in it because I knew I had him somewhere.
Well, I wasn't expecting everyone that we were putting in the wedding party would be the only people at the wedding.
Yeah, same.
So,
I agree.
Our wedding parties were bigger than the wedding itself was almost.
Yeah and you like, only have Nedley walking her down the aisle.
Yes,
I said it
that
first.
Was
though.
A good one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, correct. I mean, I feel like we're kind of already talking about the ending a little bit here, but the only person I couldn't remember who they were was Perry.
Perry is the guy who saves the baby. He first of all, he's from the hockey team that was haunted from the trophy.
Okay.
And then he's super rich. He was the only one who survived that team.
Oh, yeah.
With the curse of the hockey fucking trophy, the 10-year curse. Yeah. Then he's the one who gets the private plane to save baby Alice to bring her to Gus.
Gotcha.
Damn,
okay.
he gets a nice invite just for like 15 minutes of airtime.
So all of that was last minute addition. Isn't that crazy?
You think that Waverly and Hot were inviting people based off airtime? Yeah.
They're like, yo, Perry had like, he's on the fringe, man. He had like 15 minutes.
Not,
so we'll
not
out.
The profound impact he had on my and Doc's
saving
lives.
The baby.
Yeah. They weren't supposed to be there. That was a last minute add the names because they realized like there's two people in attendance at this wedding besides the people that are in the party. It's just Rachel and freaking Nedley sitting there. So
and Billy.
Well, Billy wasn't actually at the wedding. He was only at the reception, which is funny enough.
I just thought they didn't show him. Yeah.
But well maybe, but yeah. So
Chrissy got invited to the wedding.
Chrissy got invited. Gosh, but
she was in my wedding party. Chrissy was in my wedding party.
Yeah,
Emily did
put her in there.
Yeah, you did. Emily Andrews talks about how her original idea, but budget wise, they couldn't do it, was to like ghostify like old Earps and people, you know what I mean, in there. But then at the last second, they
pulling
put the
Star
names,
Wars Force ghost thing. And then they have Anakin in on the last row, just like, yeah.
You know what? Speaking of Chrissy, I forgot we didn't mention Nedley's, Nedley and Rachel planning their little fishing trip.
Yeah.
So cute.
And then Nedley's like, the only thing Chrissy ever caught was mono. Yeah. Yeah, bro. Nedley came out firing in this finale episode.
So, yeah, he's like.
I was going to say, we're the only fucking people that they had invited to the wedding that were dead were just Dolls and Gus, right?
Gus isn't dead. Gus has Alice.
Gus has Alice.
Gus, for some reason.
Bobo is on the sign.
I was thinking of who was Juan Carlo. That's who I was thinking.
Oh,
Gus.
JC.
He looks like a Gus. He does
look like a Gus.
Do they have Gabriel? Why was Gabriel on there?
Julian was there.
What did I say? Gabriel.
Yeah, but he didn't die. He just left the Ghost River Triangle, right?
No,
he's
Julian
dead.
He died.
Yeah, he died.
Bobo, your boy, killed him.
Yeah, you're right. Fuck Bobo. Love that guy.
Love that guy.
But before we keep diving into this, I do want to talk about the Silk Witch quickly because apparently Charlotte Sullivan was everyone was asking for her to be a guest star on the show for forever. She's a Canadian actress. And she was awesome. Apparently, the singing was improv. It wasn't supposed to be singing. She just sung it because, the accent was her choice of this crazy fucking witch. I thought she was incredible. And if you were to ever rewatch it, you can see Mel breaking. Like, she is, they could not keep it together during those scenes because she was being wild. And they know each other. They had been on something before together and they're friends. So apparently it was just, so funny that they couldn't keep their shit together because they were like, what is she doing? Which
that
I
sounds
love.
Fun. Yeah, that sounds fun.
Oh, yeah.
I like how they added a quick subplot to this episode because Luke said he didn't really guess it was going to happen. But I would have been wondering, how are they going to fill 45 minutes otherwise? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could draw out the wedding if you want, but I thought it was perfect how much time the wedding got, and having this subplot to add some comedy was funny. Did she say Quain or Taint with Winona? And then everything get everything getting blown up. Waverly just cracks me up when she's like, why is everything getting all fricked up?
I also Jeremy confronting Damon, non-demon. That scene was fucking, he's like, Damon, really? It's a little on the nose, don't you think?
Yeah. He's like, I know your secret.
Yeah. The second I saw you, I had a feeling in my crotch.
He's like, you're kind or not welcome here.
Turns out about my kind.
Yeah. He's freaking Bunny's nephew who Bunny hates.
Yeah.
People.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Like that. That's just funny that they just threw that random line in there. Yeah, I'm Bunny's nephew.
Yeah, Damon was great.
Waverly saving the day from the Silk Witch was also funny because it was so nonchalant. I loved Nicole and Waverly figuring it out together because they're so smart. They got Jeremy thought he had it, and then he walks in, he's like, the caterer demon, and they're like, no. I love that. It was cute. I would watch a show of those two fighting crime together because they didn't really get to do that often. It's usually Winona and Waverly or anyone at BBD, Nicole really, they wouldn't really let Nicole be involved when they were doing the case-to-case stuff in season one. Yeah. They wouldn't really let Nicole be a part of it.
Were you objecting out loud when, at that part, when they do make the discovery, they bang and then Jeremy walks in, he's like, no one wants to see that. Were you like,
yeah, I was like, everyone
already did see it and everyone loved it.
Yeah, right? Speak for yourself, Jeremy.
I think that was a nod to the audience as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point you make, though, on how Waverly kind of deals with it very quickly, and then Doc and Winona are struggling very hard. I like how Doc's flopping around in the river.
Yeah, him doing that dive into the river, which was a belly flop. I was like, oh my god! Doc.
And then when he rolls over onto his back on some rock and just laying there in the water.
he's like, now that I'm not immortal, I'm out of shape. I smoke too much.
So funny! I thought that image was great.
This is where the tension starts because Winona finds the letter in the jacket he hands her. And I like the line when he says, in war, you're the truest hero I ever fought alongside of, but in love, you're a coward. And he's like, come with me.
And he's
prove
right.
me wrong. Come with me.
Yep.
He is so right.
That down. I love when people put Winona in her place.
Is that the first reference to the letter, or did we see him writing it earlier?
He flips it over
when Winona first gets there in the dress because she's having trouble with your speech about Waverly, and he's like, I'm just trying to find the right words.
So all this episode, though.
Yeah, and he's saying he was never going to hand her a letter, for the record. He was just trying to write it down so we could figure out what he was going to say out loud.
Yeah.
The pro tip, he's been around the block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not his first rodeo with that shit.
Yeah.
When Waverly walks in to get the Silk Witch and she has the banner that says where you go, I go. I fucking love that because she says that to her in the alternate universe episode when they're about to explode in the house. They have to kill themselves to break the curse or whatever. She says where you go, I go. And then she says it in episode 11. And I love that that was the banner for their wedding. Where you go, I go. Silk banner. Get the Silk Witch. I love when I don't have it written down, but when the Silk Witch is I was bested by normal silk and a
a standard normal removal spell.
Yeah.
So funny. That was an ugly dress.
He's like, why is he that Waverly kept wearing saying, the dress?
Yeah. That's great.
You kind of skip over that a little bit.
You're like, are you marrying her? So she's a lesbian?
My sister. So your sister's and you're getting married.
That just freaking reminded me. The most absurd line of this entire series is 1000% when
Wynonna says,
Wynonna's like, if it was legal to marry my sister, you know I would have already done it.
We totally called that out on insane. The pod. Yeah.
Yeah. The Silk Witch tells them that the chooser chooses as long as the chooser is in love. And then Doc's like, okay. And kind of calls Wynonna for her shit, being like, well, what the fuck, right? And Wynonna's like, I just wanted to see if I could be normal for a second and what it feels like. And I don't know. That was resolved really easily. I thought that was good. It didn't ruin the wedding, which is what I was worried about. Like, I didn't want something to fuck up the wedding. So that was good. It was like just a couple chunks of that, the wedding. And then as much as Nicole and Wynonna are the centric, like, obviously, it's all surrounding this wedding and it's so loving and it's so perfect. The Doc and Wynonna stuff was absolutely captivating. Mm-hmm. This was such good acting. You can tell that the actors were like really channeling from a real spot, knowing that this could have been the series finale, because when they were shooting it, I don't think they knew. I think it's probably like a 50-50 shot. They knew all too well how easy it is to get canceled even when you're picked up. So I think they were treating it as a series finale. And the hurt bits like inside their eyes when Doc looks at her and is like, I wouldn't have changed a note. I'm like, just absolutely just slit my throat. Like, I'm really into these two in this episode. And I think I said this on the pod throat. I did for my favorite episode. I think this was the first episode ever where I'm more, not more into them, but more captivated by Doc and Wynonna than I was Waverly and Nicole. And not by much, obviously, because the wedding was incredible. But I just really was like, figure it out, guys. We got 15 minutes left. Fucking figure it out. You're making me upset.
To go back to some wedding stuff.
Yes, please.
Jeremy catches the bouquet like a boss.
That montage
was
amazing.
Many like fun little things that happened in the wedding that I thought was just really nice. It was honestly just like a joy to watch it unfold on the screen.
We had the Nedley and Nicole quick scene. They got their conversation in. And I think right before that, correct me if I'm wrong, because I had a weird note here. What did they say about Mama? Because didn't they say that she was...
She's banging her way through Turkey, dude.
Okay, so she was... Yeah, okay. I thought they said something about her.
So literally, last season asking if Mama Irv's coming back. I was like, is Mama coming back? Is this like a thing? Is she going to be back? All right, she'll be at the wedding. And all we get is that she's banging her way through Turkey.
Well, good for her. They're like, the postcards are getting a little graphic. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like mama.
Yeah, I love the vows, specifically when Waverly says, thank God for the bulletproof vest, which is a callback to season one when fucking crazy ass bitch shoots her. What is her name?
That was one of the spoilers you told us before it happened.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, one of the characters shot. She doesn't die.
What the fuck is the sister's name?
What are you talking about?
Waverly and Wynonna's sister.
It starts with a W, right?
Oh, Willa.
Willa. Oh my God.
It's gotta be a W.
I'm getting my ERP status taken away from me.
You better freaking edit that, Kathleen. My gosh. Yeah,
that was ridiculous when Waverly's like, oh, you're like my favorite sister. Top two. That was insane. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
She was fucking kidding. She hates Willa.
That went right over my head. I thought she was just saying top two between her and Nicole. Like, just saying favorite people. That's funny. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So let's see.
I got something I need to say, Kathleen. All right.
Oh.
You all right over there? All right. How you guys feel about our boy Robin just getting shafted, dude? He got a sign on the chair, but Jeremy's he's just moved on. It's over.
No,
QB1's done.
Well, that was unexpected. Definitely unexpected. And unpredictable, because it was pretty much impossible for us to figure out that Damon was going to come in last minute. But once he was on the screen, said he was gay, I was like, okay, there's Jeremy's ending. But
he's hot.
I also think, like, with BBD gone, even though technically Jeremy's going to now be the chief deputy of the BBD Ghost River Triangle, like, surveillance going on, like, I think that means that the AA meetings that he had with Robin, like, that's probably gone. So, like, it gives Robin a reason to actually leave with his new boyfriend that he has. So it makes sense. I just totally didn't expect it. I thought there was going to be some sort of thing when the fog disappeared. So did all the people's minds that got wiped revert, and then it would have let Robin be able to come. But, I mean, it worked out. Happy ending, because Jeremy's got a new boo-thang, but did not see it coming.
That is, you saying the word Robin is the first time the word Robin crossed my mind since we recorded the 9 and 10 episode. So
even the wedding seat?
You didn't see it on the wedding seat?
He must have been the one name I missed.
So,
I was okay with it because I thought the Damon stuff was so funny and there was so much other lovey-dovey stuff going on.
Sure.
Like Rachel and Billy asking Nedley very awkwardly to go on the trip, and then Nedley hits him with the "we're only pitching one type of tent."
Yeah.
I mean,
bro, Nedley.
Yeah, he was drunk as hell at this wedding. I love it. He's like Toxic, my fourth favorite Britney song. But going back to Robin, I think that Jeremy's just respecting the fact that he doesn't remember him and he has a new boyfriend. And in episode 11, when he's trying to talk Doc down, he says, like, I lost my love. I lost my job. Mm-hmm. And if I lose you, I'll be losing my brother. So just, like, kill me, whatever. Eat me, which I think is hilarious way. It's like vampires aren't actually eating people. They're just sucking their blood. Confuses me when they say eat me. But anyway, Rachel singing.
Now she could die at any moment after she's done singing.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Fair game.
So the song she sings, I'll give you all one guess of where prior in the season that, or the series, that song pops up.
It was playing in Shorties when Hot walks in for the first time in season one.
No, but good.
That
guess.
Is a good,
I
like that.
Like, I just fired that one from the hip.
Yeah. I thought you were like, you knew
it. Confident.
Like,
you gotta be confident when you lie.
I'll just say it. It's the couch scene. The first time
I was
going to
say it's the couch scene when they hook up. Yeah.
This is a podcast. We gotta
yeah, you guys are just sitting there not guessing.
this is not a visual medium. It's like waiting.
Dude, like, now you can just edit it out so we guess it immediately.
Yeah. So that was cute. I mean, that was like huge when she starts singing that song and the first like da-na-na-na starts playing. Everyone's like tears. Love it. Great song. Wildwood by Fleury. And then the montage is amazing. That's everything you want for a finale, is people dancing and Doc's eating cake. Jeremy catches the bouquet. It's an incredible, incredible montage. It's perfect.
Waverly was breaking it down.
She was. It's a good deal for me.
I love that. But that's after our first split of Wynonna. Like, Wynonna sees Doc walking away from the wedding celebration the same exact way he did it with the engagement announcement. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, he just kind of slips out after the happy moment. And then that's when she
kind of move.
No, she actually doesn't chase after him there. Right. Like, that's when they talk her into doing it.
No, she does chase after. She's first of all in the blue dress. So dainty and delicate in blue. And he's like, you would look good in blue to her. And there she is in that blue dress looking hot. But so she goes and finds him at the car and she's like, you're not bluffing. You know, we get it. You're going to book her. Seems like you are bluffing. And then this was sweet. I love Doc's. They say life is short, but it's long and lonely. If you manage to find a group of souls that will tolerate you and elevate you and one who will especially love you, that's what it's all about. That's what the fight is for. And that was great. And that's when he says, I wouldn't have changed a note after she apologizes to him for everything. And I was like, come on. It's amazing acting.
Just slit my fucking throat.
Just slit my throat.
Yeah, if I'm honest, though, it was just the whole time thinking, like, why can't she leave Waverly? I don't.
She's a coward. It's not about Waverly.
Yeah, I know. It's about taking the dive.
That's
what I was thinking the entire scene versus, like, this is such a nice emotional moment.
Yeah, I mean, Waverly calls her out later and says, like, I'm not going to be your excuse.
Yeah, which I loved that part. Yeah. It was great that we have the whole kind of debrief afterwards. But
that
but,
was I mean, awesome.
Doc's just such a, I mean, Tim is an amazing actor. He was so good in the scene. Doc's my favorite character because of scenes like this. Mm-hmm. He just, like, can flip that switch and has such nice range as a character. He's just the man. He's just like a poet when he wants to be. and just like a savage.
When he never could have caught me walking away from a crying Winona after that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some balls,
dude.
I mean, when he's not bluffing, it's like I was sitting there and it's like, dude, you drove, you're driving, you're on your way, you're leaving, dude. What the hell? How do you do that to our girl?
How do you even like follow that up? Where do you go? Vegas?
Cleveland. Yeah.
Like, where the fuck
Cleveland
you go?
For the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he wasn't even having a single thought about Alice either. Like, he was just going to let that plot point die until fucking Winona brings it up at the end. Like, yo.
Well, you don't know where he was going, dude. He could have been going to Alice.
Well, he didn't seem
he didn't
to
know where she
no,
was.
He didn't know what
I thought Winona
Montana
told
was.
Him. That's true. But
no,
I thought,
no
I thought
one was
Winona
allowed
had
to know.
Said to him that it was she was with Gus. I thought he already knew that.
True, but I don't think anyone knew where Gus was, period. Like, they couldn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy.
That was like my note after that conversation. I was like, what the fucking fuck? Where, what about Alice? I was like, let's fucking talk about Alice. And then, of course, that gets brought up in the next like 3 minutes on screen after the fuck you screen scene.
That was Monty. So that's the first time she's cursing? Kids.
No, she's cursed before.
Oh, well,
she was cursing in the Halloween episode when they switched. She was cursing up a storm.
Oh yeah, but she's being like Winona though in that episode.
True. Yeah.
I thought the point of saying like, why is everything getting all fricked up? Like that is just like it's supposed to be that she doesn't curse really.
She does.
That's why it's funny that she says fuck you.
She Waverly's character is a lot of cringy like substitute curse words in this show, like big time. It's I don't ever mention it because she's perfect.
She is perfect.
But gag me, just slit my throat.
Just slit Kathleen's
gag
throat.
Me and slit my throat.
Yeah, this episode really fucked you up.
But imagine me like sitting right here in this bed watching this finale, being like, "Pull it together, Doc and Winona. What the fuck is gonna happen?" Like I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, 12 minutes left.
So this is last year. We're recording a Magicians episode. And you was it Magicians or the 100?
When?
Last year when you left early. Remember? You were like, I have to go. I have the series finale for Winona.
Oh, it was the Magicians, Peaches and Plums episode.
Yeah. And you literally were correct. Like, guys, I'm out. I have to go watch the finale.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was in April. This year. April of this year. Crazy.
Damn.
But, yeah, I mean, the gang all being like, dude, Doc is hot. What the fuck? Is so funny.
Was he not wearing his hat?
Yeah. When Nicole's like, yeah, but I don't have to sleep with them. And they're like, have to?
Yo, I completely forgot about that Jeremy line.
I like that they put in a small line about the fact that there are still demons here, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're going to figure it out how to work together and live together. They basically were already paving that way with Eamon's glory hole thing. Like, it was peaceful, relatively peaceful. You don't need Winona around. So that was a good reason to like kick her out. Be like, yo. Take peace.
And that's also, that's also the point of what Nicole was saying when she had the gun to the BBD guy's head. She was just like, we're all, obviously, if you're a bad demon, they'll take care of it. But, you know, we're all who we are in the Ghost River Triangle, and we're all going to live together, and I'm going to be the sheriff of this town, you know?
Mm-hmm. That cowboy became a cow man for her.
Yeah, I've said it before, too. Literally 2 minutes ago, but I like when people kind of put a mirror to Winona and she finally starts to realize, like, when Waverly says to her, like, don't put this on me, like, don't make this decision, like, put the reasoning onto me and make almost me at fault for it. Voice crack. I just like that. She says to her, you need to stop thinking you're the only one who can handle this place. And it's like, thank you.
And she says, like, you can come back and visit. Like, you will come back and visit.
Yeah, exactly. We have cell phones. We'll be all right.
Because, like, Kathleen, if we're going all the way back to season one, isn't it true that she pretty much, like, left Waverly and wasn't really talking to her?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, you come into season one with Waverly wanting a big sister and missing her big sister. And I really like the lines where she says, like, my biggest fear used to be that you'd never come back. And that you never get to know the real me. And now they know you always will. And they don't have to have that worry anymore because their lives have completely changed. And they became so close over these 4 seasons, however many years that was. But yeah, I mean, God, Waverly is the sweetest, cutest angel in the whole world. How could she have ever left her in the first place?
Yeah, right. And you think Champ was invited to the wedding?
If they had a Champ fucking chair, I would die.
Champ was my plus one.
He's alive though, right? He just gets his ass whooped. Or does he die with
the vampires, I think.
Yeah, he just gets his ass whipped by Nicole, right? She punched him in the face.
The last time you see him, he gets drugged from the champagne, and then Nicole knocks him out.
Yeah, that's a good ending for Champ.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
And so let's rip this last conversation, because I completely forgot about the motorcycle that she got like forever ago.
Yeah, it's been too snowy, dude.
Was that whose motorcycle was that? I kind of forget.
It was Gus's husband, and I forget his name.
Oh, fuck.
The one that was ugly. They thought he was an incest baby.
Oh my God.
That's the guy that dies in the beginning, right?
Yeah. That's why she comes home, because of his funeral.
Shit, I don't remember.
I know, I'm an asshole. I should know it. Yeah. You're losing points all episode.
This is our finale episode, and you're just losing points.
I will say that the last time you see the motorcycle is a conversation with Winona and Doc. Doc's trying to hook up with Winona, and she says no. And then I forget what she says. She looks at it and she's like, you never know when you need like a long strip of road or something like that. I don't know. It's just like the last time you see it was with those two. So it's nice that the time she uses it is to go get him. And she's turning him down in the prior episode too.
Before we dive into that combo though, really quickly, Jeremy's just exclamation of grief when the truck doesn't start. I laughed out loud. I thought it was so funny.
Me too.
And then the tracker, the reasoning is because he wants to catch Doc's first TikTok. I don't know how a GPS tracker would help him know when the TikTok's coming, but that was a thing.
He's going 60 in a 55.
Yeah, he's like, I worry about him.
I love that.
Their relationship's just the best. I love
yeah.
That.
Fashion first, bitch.
Yep. Carry on to the actual conversation.
Like the one where with Winona and Doc?
Winona comes by, fucking drive by, pop, 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 pop.
What a bold move.
Takes out the car. Yeah. I was worried that Doc was going to react super negatively to her shooting out
Charlene.
Charlene.
I can remember Charlene.
What if he actually got pissed and was just like, I hate you now? And then it ended.
Fuck off.
That would have been wild.
We get the first I love yous. We got, I love you, Doc. I love you in the bottom of the deep, dark well way. I love your face and your butt and your draw and your heart. I love the way you love my sister, and I love the way you love me.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me up.
My throat.
The Waverly line's really good.
Yes. The I love the way you love my sister hit the hardest for me. I felt like that delivery was just so real.
Mm-hmm. And it's true.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes me all warm and fuzzy that they are finally admitting this stuff to each other. I mean, I get it's like, you know, it's a core part of their characters, but it just feels good finally to get it.
Mm-hmm.
They could have ended it there. They really could have. I'm glad they didn't. I did need one more Waverly and Nicole scene. So after commercial, you come back to the Alice scene. So, of course, like Doc's like cracking a beer because why not during the day at a rest stop?
He's going to have to watch his cigs and watch his drinking if he's not immortal anymore.
We have to talk about Doc on the back of Winona's motorcycle.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So good. That's my feminist TV show. Like Doc would just absolutely be delighted to get on the back of that with no hit to his pride. Just absolutely let's fucking go. The way he's snuggling up and just
yeah, he definitely snugs her, man.
Yeah, he was so comfy, and he totally is a small spoon guy, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah,
Winona is definitely a big spoon woman.
I like how on the nose the freaking name of the city that Alice was at. Like, we're going from Purgatory to Miracles, Montana. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where Alice is.
I never
and
thought
was, like,
about
perfect.
That.
Yeah,
that's
like
amazing. Yeah, and then. That was sweet. And then we moved to Waverly Nicole, and Waverly is just saying, like, do you wish that was us going on a big like honeymoon adventure? And she's like, where I've always wanted to be, home with my wife. Mm. And then you get the mailboxes. It's just the sweetest ever. Erp and Hot, sometimes holiday, everybody welcome.
Yeah. The everybody welcome is such a nice ending shot for the show in general.
Man, I'm going to miss that theme song. I showed Dave Calda the theme song today. I was like, bro, you're right here. Just listen.
You don't have to watch. Just listen.
Just listen.
Because I gave you all I got to give. No, it ain't no way to live.
I told that devil to take
you back.
Holy fuck. Okay, so final thoughts. What do we think?
Show sucked, man.
Yeah, you guys have to give kind of your, we'll talk quick, like,
great
quickly
theme
we'll do,
song,
yeah.
Shitty ass show.
We'll do favorite characters because we got to end on that, right?
Yes.
I said, well,
I wasn't told I needed to prepare a list. Are we doing number ones? Are we doing top
my
fours?
List is,
top
let's fives. See, Reggie, Jay-Z, Tupac, Biggie, Andre from Malkus, Jada Corrupt, Nas, then Winona.
Biggie getting cut off the
that
list.
That was good. You are funny, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm a funny guy.
I actually was thinking about my list. I can rip my characters off.
Are we doing top
rating.
Four here?
We've been doing top four. Might as well.
I'm doing top five.
Oh, geez.
I'm not
tough.
Leaving Jeremy off, and he is my
yeah,
top
that's
five.
Tough.
Spoiler.
That's tough.
So after, I would love to see what my rankings were like looking back every time we did this, because I've been all over the place, but I think it finally solidifies at Winona at number one.
Ooh,
yeah, I think
she made a jump because I'm pretty sure she's been three for you for a while.
Well, I was saying
last time you put Waverly.
I think at the end of three is when I had Winona re-jump Waverly.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Because
I was saying how like her comedy beats were starting to be better and like more timely, and like I just liked what she had going on, and like the pregnancy thing was gone, so that stopped consuming her personality. So I had Winona first. I thought she had the most satisfying ending. It was slightly not, I wouldn't say predictable, because the options were either Doc's gonna die and sacrifice himself, or they're gonna end up together like they do,
right.
Happy. So I'm happy it went that way. Doc's number two. He's always like right. Doc has never really wavered from my top two, I think. And then Waverly fits in at number three, Bobo four, Jeremy five.
So you left Nicole out, huh?
I did leave Nicole out. I just think looking back, this season made me appreciate Bobo even more as like my favorite villain of the series.
Okay.
I'll go.
Well, I thought you get to go last because you've seen it a million times, but
nah, fuck you guys. So I'm gonna go. Literally very similar to Luke. I'm going to go Winona, Doc, Waverly,
Natalie.
Nicole, Jeremy. But I'm so mad that I'm not putting Mercedes in there. I thought Mercedes was coming up at some point. That's why I stuttered, because she never came. But she would be six. She would be six for me if I had to guess. Over
so we got the same rankings. Flip out my Bobo for your Nicole.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But I mean, my five are like, put them all on the screen at once, and I mean,
you
it's
don't care.
Magic
you
television.
Like them all. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kyle, marry you.
I'll go next. So my order is going to be Doc, Jeremy, Waverly, Hot, Winona.
Okay.
That's
okay.
My top five. Did you think I was going to leave Winona off, Kathleen?
I did.
No. I hoped that she would have climbed to five at least by this point. I knew she was going to be last if she was going to be on it at all.
Yeah. Doc's just the guy. Jeremy, no one makes me laugh more than Jeremy does, so he has to.
What about Natalie, dude?
Natalie makes me laugh.
Don't say that, Jimmy.
Only because Jeremy's in the show more. But,
all right.
Yeah,
that's
obviously
fair.
Waverly, there's nothing bad you can say about her. I just like Hot more than Winona because Hot upsets me less than Winona does.
Yeah.
All right, James? I'm going to go Jack, the genie, Cleo.
This guy's full of jokes. So.
I'm doing it. I have one more episode. This is it. I got to get them all out. All right, I'm going. I don't think I've ever wavered from my girl Waverly at number one. She's number one, Doc number two, Winona number three, Jeremy number four, and Nicole number five.
Pandering.
I just honestly, I don't think I've never moved from Waverly at number one. I mean, it is tough with her and Doc, but my heart goes to Waverly. I just think that she's just been a character that's been so like consistent through this four seasons and just in general of any show. And I really appreciate how they kept her the same way pretty much, even through when she's doing her now that I know Gooverly and Gooverly or whatever and Dark Angel waves.
Jimmy's a feminist icon.
He is. Love that guy. I've previously said in other pods I've been on that I'm more of a pairing girl. Like I'm like Kyle always says, Doc and Jeremy on the screen fucking kills me. I love when Waverly and Winona are paired up. I love like Nicole and Winona paired up. I think this show shines, obviously, when the cast is all together and going, doing their little antics. Like, you know, sometimes, and this is the show we've been comparing it to the whole time, like sometimes, like when Alice goes to that weird town when there's no magic from the magicians, and with that woman who ends up working for the library, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
you can literally pinpoint that storyline and being like, I love Alice, but I don't need that. Or when Julia does certain things, it's like they're alone on their own things, which sometimes can hurt them because you're just like, put them with Elliot and Quentin and stuff.
Right.
It builds. I mean, I'm not really comparing because the magicians is everything to me, but
Margot's our girl the entire time, but add her to a scene with Elliot and she just jumps even higher. You know?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So
this is one of the shows I would definitely say has very similar relationship and character work to the Magicians. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why the Magicians is one of my favorite TV shows is the character relationships. They're so real. They're mm-hmm. such great friends. And it feels like you're kind of part of the squad, and one another does the same thing to you. You feel like you're part of the team with them, and you love to see the reunions and the fights that they have hit you hard, and you're kind of pulling your hair out with everyone else watching it of like, why don't they just make up and things like that. So that was definitely the strongest point I would say in the show, is just all the relationships that they've built between the main characters. And it was fun to kind of go along with all of the drama and all of the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually Agreed. Someone that just hates Westerns in general.
Same.
So like the fact that I stuck through this whole series, I enjoyed it. Like it's not my cup of tea, but like I loved it. And you got to know going in, it's going to be slightly campy, and it is a cable show network. And if you keep those in the back of your mind, this show does what it does amazingly. It knows what it is, and it leans so freaking into it. And besides the Magicians, it has some of the best just cultural one-liners I've ever seen. Like Winona's delivery of some shit is, even if sometimes it's not funny, it's always something relevant to us, and we're like the target audience of things that they're referencing. So it's always like so fucking, it's so good for us. And some of the shit that they did was like had pacing issues for me, and that's fine. Like I should have expected that going in, but just like when it's hitting its highs, like this show was awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I can see why it has such like a very, I don't even want to say it's not rabid, but like they're just like such a great fan base because it's so fun. It's such a fun show to watch with friends, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a good time like sharing all of the podcast experiences and stuff. I don't know if I would have enjoyed the show if it was just me watching it by myself, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
I'm not as much, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm not as much maybe the target audience, but I think it's such a nice show to share with other people.
It's exactly the kind of show where if you know someone would like this at all, they're going to love it.
Yeah.
So, like I wouldn't blanket recommend this to everybody, but the people that I know would be somewhat piqued and watch a couple episodes, I know like they'll just do the whole thing and absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching it alone and sought out a fandom. You know what I mean? Like that's why it's so strong. It's because it's like you want this show rocks. Like you want to be able to like share it with other people, and I am the exact target audience for this fucking show. So like it was nice that you can literally like my Twitter was Winona Earp at all times. I got my like fill with the cast being obsessed with it and putting out so much like panel content, the fandom itself being nuts and amazing and super inclusive and everything. Like my final thoughts on the show is just that like it's the first show that really made me, especially rewatching it now that I have a girlfriend, it's like, wow, representation does fucking matter. Like it goddamn matters. Like if I didn't, like I've always known about myself that I was bi, and it's like I was never going to really act on it until I was watching the show and just being like, I fucking want that. That is great. And I see myself in the show and just go for it. It's like they're living in this tiny hobunk town and it's fucking fine. So just do it. And I did. And now I'm like, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I guess I don't know. Just representation fucking matters and in all shapes and forms, no matter what it is. So, James.
That was beautiful.
Beautiful. I honestly feel like this show is the epitome of what Bingetown TV is about, because I feel like I'm a broken record when I say this, but when I watch shows, I go for feeling. I go for the entertainment and how I feel when I'm watching it. My brain can tell me when a show like Breaking Bad or The Sopranos or whatever is just like art or like a phenomenal show. But when we, the shows that we cover on the side specifically to give them awareness, like The 100, The Magicians and stuff, I love them as well for what I, you know, intellectually too. But the feeling that I get from them is why I think they're so good. You know, I get entertained. I get that good feeling when I watch, like Kyle was saying, I feel like I'm part of the crew. And Wynonna was all of that. I mean, season one, I said it so many times, and I think Luke was agreeing with me totally, like intellectually or in my own mind, I was like, I shouldn't be liking this show. Like, I am so about, yeah. Like, I was like, I'm so about certain things like plot, and any plot holes piss me off or this or that. And I couldn't stop watching, and I was ready to keep watching. And I wasn't a part of the pilot, so I pretty much binged season one. And if we didn't keep covering it on the pod, I would have kept watching. Like, I wanted to know what was going to happen next. So I give it the A. I, just like Luke said, you know, and Kyle said, it depends. I don't say, you know, hey, this is something I'm going to show to everybody. But if you're going to, like, I am confident that you watch the show, you're going to like it.
I mean, listen, I'm the same. I don't recommend the show to everybody because I can't even fathom the idea of recommending it to someone and then it flopping. Like, that that makes me so sad. Because, you, I mean, it's happened with The Magicians, where that shows my heart and soul, and I give it to someone who's like, they're going to fucking love it. And they just quit in mid-season one. I'm like, bitch, you have no idea what you just did.
Yeah.
It's the best show of all time. So, like, I was vulnerable giving this show to you guys, and you guys were amazing and fun and, like, and critiquey, where I had blind spots, you know, I had major blind spots with this show. And I know Luke said a million times, like, the fandom probably hates me because I'm like, we're nitpicking because we're doing it, especially season four, episode by episode. But it's like, I'm glad you were. And I loved deep diving in. I loved talking through, like, whatever the plot holes may have been and, like, stuff that didn't make sense or stuff that was, like, that did hit for you was my favorite ever. Like, when you guys really love something, it, that just made my whole life. Like, I love that.
We wouldn't be sitting here on the pod, Kathleen, trying to figure out the wedding party if we didn't like the show.
Yeah, I know. I just, like, respect you guys and your opinion so much that it's nice when things, like, hit and...
We said it a million times, so we're happy that we liked the show a lot because I specifically, and I know Lucas said it too, like, I was nervous to start it just because I didn't want to be someone that said, oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, yeah. Bro. Don't like it.
And for that reason, I'm out.
Yeah. But I think before we get off, we already said it a little bit, but we got to thank everyone on Twitter, all the ERPers that allowed us to join the fandom. And we're so nice with us on Twitter, on Instagram, you know, even Reddit, the Facebook groups. That's, like, the best part of the pod for us. Anyone that's interacting with us, letting us know if our theories are great, if we suck, if, you know, anything, literally, or just talking to us. It's just so fun. The ERP fandom welcomed us in. Kevin himself from the Black Badge podcast was phenomenal.
A legend.
The man, legend. So awesome. So, guys, we just want to say thank you so much for allowing us to be part of the fandom.
And we may have a little bit of a Wynonna treat in the future. Put a pin in that.
So.
We're going to figure it out. But just be on the lookout for some Wynonna news from your boys and girls at Bingetown.
Laurel girls. Ooh.
Yeah, we consider Dave, you know.
Plural girls. Yeah.
Are we
anything
Bank
else?
Married
we,
to end
should
or
we
no?
do a final Bank You'll
we
Marry?
We can do the. I mean, we have to do Waverly, Nicole, and Wynonna, right? Last episode we did the boys, and this episode we'll do the girls.
All right, let it rip.
Do you want?
All right, I'm going to. Okay. I'm going to marry Waverly.
Yep.
Because Waverly's the best, and she's our bisexual queen.
She
Sorry,
is.
Kathleen, love that. Move over. There's a new bisexual queen in town.
I will let her take that crown big time.
This is going to be a tough one. I feel like at this point I can't bang Hot because she's a lesbian,
mm-hmm.
and that feels wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to bang Wynonna because you know it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm unfortunately going to have to kill Hot. I guess the second side of that coin is that I can't have Hodge just being around, potentially tempting Waverly. Because you know, if they ever meet, it's going to be a Hallmark movie moment, and she'll probably leave me for Hodge because that's her true love of her life. So I'm going to have to take out the competition and kill.
All right. I feel like you might have just nailed it for at least me and Luke. Luke, do you have any?
I'm fucking marrying Winona. Come on. We like a little chaos. I love a little chaos.
You like a little
life.
Chaos? All right. Doc's going to freaking kill you, bro. Doc is going to kill you.
Yeah. Doc's going to fist pound me for banging her.
Doc understands, like, when you have to bang it out. Like, he didn't kill the people. He didn't kill Julian.
Amen.
Like, I mean, he just ate him, if that's what you want to say. But
he did drag Eamon all the way out to be killed, though.
Yeah.
This is a multiverse. This is a Winona variant. I'm banging the Winona that decides to stay at the homestead when Doc leaves.
Doc just leaves. Okay.
Doc just leaves. Like, he's out of the picture. She's going to get over it. Give her a year. I'm marrying Winona. I'm part of this fucking family now. But now I have to destroy the family by killing one of them. I'm going to kill Hot because Winona's been through enough. That's her girl. So I'm going to bang Waverly. I guess that means, like, I'm double dipping for the Earps, but we're going to fucking take it. Marion Winona is the main point. Everything else stemmed from there.
And Bobo is going to be your stepbrother just because.
He's going to be his kin.
If I get real lucky, me and Waverly have like a quarter angel baby from the bang.
Okay.
Ooh, that's not bad.
You think Winona is going to raise your and Waverly's love baby?
Honestly, yeah, because she already said she wanted to marry Waverly. So we can open this
and then
up.
Alice and your child with Waverly grow up together.
Yes.
And they're BFFs. That's good. We're good.
Fuck yeah.
But I don't think I have much to say. I think Kyle nailed it for me. You know, I have Waverly as my number one. So I'm marrying her. Winona just seems like the best. She's a great time. You want to have that fling just because she loves the flings when it's not Doc. And then sadly, you have to kill Nicole.
Yeah, it sucks.
It does suck. It really does.
I'm going to change. I'm different from all of you. Besides, I'm going to marry Waverly. That one. Yeah, I must.
Is that was the first choice? Like the first decision made?
Yes, absolutely. Marry Waverly. I'm going to bang Nicole because, she knows what she's doing. As we've seen throughout
Kathleen's
this
like,
show.
Have you seen the stair scene?
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to kill Winona, which sucks because
I might have
married Winona at some point, too. But no, I'm going to have to kill Winona. She's a little messy.
Point the gun at her and you're like, Winona, make your peace.
Three Nicole deaths and one Winona death?
Yeah.
Sounds about right. No one's killing Waverly.
I'm glad
you can't kill Waverly. There's no freaking way you're killing Waverly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, me, Nicole, and Waverly could have a little three polygamous little guy. I love that.
A little guy? You like a little
guy? I mean, we'll allow it. Like, when we did the Witcher bank, he'll marry. We took, what was it, Luke? I had Geralt. Me and Paul married Geralt because we knew we'd get Yennefer too.
That's nice.
Yeah,
I love Yennefer.
That's the hot. That's the trade deal of the century.
No titties in Witcher season 2 means I'm not watching it.
That's really
Yen
true.
Still looks wonderful. Yeah,
were you gonna say that's not true? And then you thought about it for a second.
Well, I was like trying to think like no main characters. There is one. There is early. I'm pretty sure of a non-main character, but
Paul confirmed when we were at Luke's like 2 weeks ago, and then now I'm sad, but. Wow, guys, this was great. I appreciate you. This was a full ass series we covered.
Mm-hmm.
We really
did. It was a journey. We went on a journey.
Who would have thunk?
This is like the perfect scenario coming out of a pitch town.
Yeah.
You do a pilot, you love it so much that, and the listeners enjoy it so much that we continue. And it definitely will not be happening all the time with other shows. Winona was special.
Mm-hmm. Winona is mine, it's my baby.
Nice passion Slitter project. You can check off the list for Bingetown TV.
Correct. Ew. Winona and Magicians were my two ones that were giving me severe anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Like even watching 11 and 12 today, I was like putting it off so hard because I'm like, I don't love just rewatching those as much because it's like so sad. I hate that it's over, but
that was like me with the Wheel of Time finale. I watched it on the day it came out and then today at like noon.
Yeah.
That's like the only two times I watched it.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Winona Earp seasons 1, 2, 3 coverage and 4 all the way through. If you like what you heard, give Binchdown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Shoot us an email, binchdowntv@gmail.com. Check out our Patreon for some fun stuff on there. Man, I'm sad this one's over, but we'll be back with, we got Witcher going on right now. We got Wheel of Time going on right now. We're going to have other cool pitch downs coming out in the new year. Happy New Year, everybody, 2022. Mm. Hopefully this year everyone's staying safe and we get rid of this Omicron guy.
Sorry about it.
So, yeah.
I'm keeping the
get rid
I'm
of Kyle. Kyle is the Omicron guy. We're getting rid of him.
This won't be so funny when I have health complications and you're laughing about it.
Oh, I like
this is
that.
Such a good outro.
We are Binchdown TV. And everyone is welcome. And make your peace.
Make your peace.
Bring Winona home.
Love you guys.
And I told the devil to take you back.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.